John chapter 9 and verse 25, the blind man being interrogated as to what he thinks about the Lord Jesus, it says, "He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." This may seem like a contradiction because a few verses later, he defends the sinlessness of Christ. In verse 31, he says, "Now we know that God heareth not sinners." And he says that because God did hear the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he's not really contradicting himself. In verse 25, when this blind man or this man that had been blind says about Jesus, "whether he be sinner or no, I know not." In the context in which he speaks, what he means by that is they're having this big discussion. They're splitting theological hairs about the Sabbath day. The Lord Jesus had taken dust and spit and made clay and anointed the man's eyes. And so they're having a theological discussion. Is it permissible to do that on the Sabbath day? Is it not? And there's still people today that enjoy splitting hairs. And so when this man says whether he be sinner or no, he already believes that the Lord Jesus is a man of God. But what he means, in the context in which you're speaking, I am not qualified to split hairs. I don't know whether it's permissible to make a little bit of clay on the Sabbath day. I don't claim to know the answer to that question, but there's one thing I do know, and that's, whereas I was blind, now I see. There is a gospel nature in all the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every miracle that Christ ever performed is a type and a picture of salvation. And so it is in this chapter. The Gospel of John is different than the other Gospels in that he deals with fewer miracles, but he really enlarges on the ones that he deals with. So we have an entire chapter here dedicated to the giving sight of this man born blind. Seven things I want to notice about this chapter today. First of all, you see here the need of the sinner. In verse 1, it says, "As Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth." Everything that Christ did by the way of miracles shows us something about the spiritual state of man. Jesus raised the dead. The Bible says men are dead in trespasses and in sins. Jesus gave strength to those that were crippled. And man by nature is unable to come to the Lord. And so all of these things are types of God's saving grace. We see here that as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. The Bible teaches that since the fall of the world, that men have come into this world spiritually blind. The Bible teaches that if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, whom the God of this world has blinded the eyes of them which believe not, lest the glorious light of the gospel should shine in. John Newton, in Amazing Grace, said, "Once I was blind, but now I see." And he was taking the very words of this blind man to show what had happened to him in salvation. Now, I want you to think of this. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, the Bible teaches not only were you born blind, but you're still spiritually blind. You have spiritual sight, but you have physical sight, but you have no spiritual sight. Now, what does the Scripture mean by that? Obviously, people that have not been born again, and the Bible says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But obviously, a man that has not been born again can discuss religious issues. There are people that were never Christians that have memorized the New Testament, have studied the Bible in Greek and Hebrew, have written books on theology, and yet that does not mean that they have spiritual sight. In fact, the religious leaders, these people that were splitting theological hairs here, the Bible speaks of God as having hid things from the wise and the prudent and revealed them unto babes. There are children that understand more about the things of God than men that have spent their entire lifetime studying the Bible in the original languages, because the little one has been born again where the scholar has not. Now you say, "Well, Brother Ron, I can discuss religion." You know, a blind man could study color and discuss color, but they have no apprehension of what it's all about. and a person who was born without taste buds could discuss flavors, but they have no experience in those things. Somebody was telling me this week about a person that they had witnessed to over and over and over and over, and it said no matter how many times you explain it to them, they don't get it. And so, by nature, men are born blind. And if you are here today without Jesus Christ, you need to be born again, which is another way of expressing you need spiritual sight. You need your eyes opened. You need to see the light. We see here not only the need of the sinner, but the purpose of the Father. In these first three verses, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Now, it's still common today to think that if somebody has a problem, that sin has caused them to have that problem. So the Jews discussed, you know, why is this man blind? Were his parents sinners? Or was he a sinner? Well, you know, they discussed this issue, and the disciples had the same idea. And so they asked the Lord Jesus about it. And he said, the reason this man is blind is not because of anything he did. It's not because of anything his parents did. It's that God's glory might be manifested through this event of my healing him. Now, if you're here today and you're lost, you approach God through the commands and promises of Scripture, the gospel. The Bible says that God commands all men everywhere to repent, and we know there are gospel invitations, and your dealing with God is on the basis of those things. But to those of us that are Christians, we rejoice. We know that those universal invitations went out, and we heard them and received them. And yet, we understand that in our own lives, we give God the glory that there was more, that God had a purpose, and that we were part of that purpose. Jesus passed by. He didn't pass by accident. This man wasn't blind by accident, but as Jesus pointed out, that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Before God ever created the world, he had a purpose for this blind man, that he would heal him and that he would give him his sight. And even in 2008, that you and I would read about it and talk about it and glorify the Lord in it. And so it's a great joy to me as a Christian to know that when Jesus passed by me and when he gave me spiritual sight and when he saved my soul, that it was no accident. The Bible speaks of God's people as a chosen people, as an elect people. There are many that profess not to like that. Personally, I think it's wonderful. You know, I don't know if you understand, and perhaps you can understand what I'm saying, but I'm glad my salvation was not an accident. If God had not sought me out, I would never have sought him out. If Jesus had not passed by me, I never would have passed by him. If he had not given me sight, I would never have seen. And it's the same way it was then. It was for the glory of God. And Ephesians 1, Paul says, having predestinated us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace. And just as this blind man was allowed to come into this world blind, and just as the healing of Christ was a foregone conclusion and a planned event, and all this was done that the works of God might be made manifest, so everyone that's saved says, you know, I am a trophy of the grace of God. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that salvation, that there was more to it than that it was simply laid out there and we happened to stumble across it and for whatever reason become partakers of it. But as I think of the grace of God, I think that God's grace is particular. And I'm thankful that it reached to me And sometimes the men sing, when I could not go to him, he came to me. And, you know, when Jesus passed by, that blind man couldn't tell who it was, didn't know who it was. You know, you talk about being born blind. One of the amazing things is to have a child that was born blind. You don't see that very often. And in our wonderful day, I mean, there's so much that doctors can do for people that are even losing their sight. But a person that's born blind, that's pretty helpless situation. But, you know, you could be born into a family that all had their sight, and you'd be blind and not know what a color is, not know what a ray of light is. But I grew up in a Christian home, but until the Lord saved me, I was spiritually blind. I mean, I could tell you some things out of the Bible, but I had no comprehension of the glory of God in Jesus Christ, had no love for those things. And I am thankful that it was in the purpose of God to pass by. We see not only, and I'm going to be talking about this tonight, these two sermons this morning and tonight kind of coincide, but we see not only the purpose of the Father, but the visit of the Son. It told us there in verse 1, as Jesus passed by. In John 3:17, the Bible says, God sent not the Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And I am thankful that God sent his Son into the world, that God had a purpose of grace, and that purpose included sending his Son into the world to die for our sins. When we say this is 2008, what we mean is that it's been 2008 years since God sent his Son into the world. That is the dividing point of all history, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into this world. The greatest hour in this man's life was when Jesus passed by. And the greatest time this earth has ever seen, and the only time I know when the angels praised God, was when Jesus Christ came to this world. And when the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. But then we see also not only the purpose of the Father, the visit of the Son, but a miracle of grace. Now, in salvation, we often say chosen by the Father, redeemed by the Son, regenerated by the Holy Spirit. Salvation is a work of the Trinity. And you say, well, Brother Ron, this man wasn't given sight by the Spirit of God. He was given sight by the Lord Jesus Christ. But you have to remember that Jesus was the anointed one. He was anointed by the Spirit of God. And what he did not by his own divine power, but as Messiah, he acted by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 10, verse 38, it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That's why the Bible says, except a man be born of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so the works of Christ were done by the power of the Holy Spirit. This was a miracle of grace. God the Father planned it. God the Son passed by. And through the power of God the Holy Spirit, this man was given sight. I want you to notice something. In theology, we speak of a type and an antitype. A type is a picture. The antitype is the real thing. It's what the picture is of. The healing of this blind man was a type of a more important thing. It was a type of his salvation. In verse 5 through 7, you see the type. And as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. Let me tell you something. If you've been blind from birth and you receive your sight, that's a good day. And you know, you don't realize what a great miracle this was. Not only did this man receive his sight, but you have to understand this. An adult who has never seen, if you suddenly gave him his sight, he wouldn't know what to do with it. There was a certain surgery that was able to be done. And there was a time in recent history when quite a few people that had never seen were able to see because of the surgery. But what they found out is even though they had their sight, they still didn't understand what they were seeing. And as they walked downstairs, they'd close their eyes because they couldn't trust or interpret their sight. They were so used to using other senses. But when the Lord Jesus healed somebody, he not only healed them, I mean, they were fully able. And this man not only received his sight, but he could jump up and down the steps, do anything he wanted to do. This was a great miracle. Let me tell you something. It wasn't as great a miracle as something else the Lord did for this man. In verse 35 of chapter 9, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, that is, cast him out of the synagogue. And when he found him out, he said unto him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" And he answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. You know, two things happened to this man on this day. The first thing was he received physical sight. The second thing was he received spiritual sight. Now, let me tell you something. If you've got a choice between the physical and the spiritual, always take the spiritual. His physical sight was merely a convenience and a joy. But his spiritual sight continues in heaven today as he looks upon the Savior. You know, one of the things that disturbs me, and it shows me the blindness of the religious world, is the great emphasis today on healing. The great emphasis today, every time you turn on the TV on Sunday morning, the preacher's not preaching about salvation. He's preaching about prosperity and healing and money. Let me tell you something, folks. Jesus did those physical miracles simply as marks of who he was and what he could do in salvation. You remember the paralytic man that was lowered down through the roof? And when they lowered him down, Jesus said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." And the Pharisees got all excited. "Oh, how can anybody but God forgive sins?" And then Jesus said, "Rise and walk." And the reason he said, "Rise and walk," is so they could know something even more important about him. And that is that he could say, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." People that are taken up, people that look at God as merely a means to physical healing or merely a means to prosperity, they know nothing about what's truly valuable. Listen, as the song goes, "I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold." Christ came into this world so that our sins could be forgiven, so that we could escape hell, so that we could be born again, so that we could be renewed in the image of God, so that we could spend eternity worshiping Him and become trophies of His grace. And the divine light in the soul is more important than any physical light in the body. And then you have, fifthly, the testimony of experience. Verse 24, the Pharisees are arguing about whether Jesus was good or bad. It said, "Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." They were making a theological pronouncement here. They were saying that he did bad in healing on the Sabbath day. And the blind man answered and said, "Whether he be sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." Salvation is experiential. That means it's something that you experience. Now, when I say that salvation is experiential, I do not mean that everybody is dealt with in the same way and that God does everything with everybody in the same order. But let me tell you this. If you're here today and you're a Christian, you can say, "Once I was blind, but now I see." You say, "Brother Ron, I never was blind." Well, that doesn't mean you never were blind. That just means you've always been blind, so you don't know what it is to see, and you're still blind. You know, I've often said this. When a person says, "Oh, I've always been a Christian," that means I've never been a Christian. Because a Christian is somebody that has been transformed. Now, sometimes people come under terrible conviction before they're converted. Sometimes God deals in a more mild way. But the result is always the same. A new understanding. Salvation involves a conviction of sin. However it's done and whatever order it's done, God convinces men that they are sinners and they need a Christian. A person that's self-righteous is not a Christian. A person that doesn't need a Savior, a person that doesn't need forgiveness, a person that doesn't feel as this blind man that they were born blind. God convicts men of their need of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The light that God shines into our heart in salvation is a light that reveals to us the glory of the gospel. You know, they talk about IQ. I don't know how much there is to that, but unsaved people have as high IQ as Christians, and maybe sometimes they have a higher IQ. Not many wise men after the flesh are called. And I read, and some of the books I read on theology are written by men that I know are lost. But they're a lot smarter than I am as far as just an IQ. But the thing is, they don't see any glory in the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's merely academic. But you know, when the Lord saves a person, the things of God become wonderful. They become interesting. They become delightful. And so there is this testimony of experience. There is the testimony of newness of life. If you are the same person that you always were, then there's been no change. I can remember, and you've heard me say this before, that after the Lord worked in my heart and saved me, I was in Aiken High School over in Cincinnati, and I was in an art class one day, and I could probably walk right to that building into that room today and know where it was if they haven't changed it. And I remember sitting there thinking, what happened to me? You know, I didn't know any theology. I really didn't know what the new birth was. I really didn't understand that well enough to explain it to you. I don't think the terminology would have come to mind. I was kind of like this fellow. I couldn't split any theological hairs, but one thing I knew, that whereas I was blind, now I see. You know, when people that are not saved see somebody that's zealous for Jesus Christ, they assume they were always that way. They assume that they were born religious because they don't understand the change that God makes in a person. You know, there were people in this auditorium today that were alcoholics, people that their whole life was taken up with the things of the world, and God changed them. People that were not raised in Christian homes, and yet the Lord save their soul. And so there is an experience of grace. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, or as we would say today, a new creation. Just as one day there'll be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, the child of God is new already. He's been changed and transformed. But then, you see, there is also the opposition of the world. In verse 34, then answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Now here's this man, he's born blind. Jesus heals him. Jesus reveals to him who he is. The man loves Christ, gives Christ the glory, and by the end of the day, he's been excommunicated. You talk about a good way to start the Christian life. He got excommunicated from the synagogue the first day the Lord met him. But you'll find out that if you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you'll have to follow Him by taking up your cross and following Him, and that Christ is not popular with the world. And yet He transforms God's people so that they endure. In Hebrews 13, verse 12, it says, wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. You know, I have to tell those of you that are not Christians that to become a Christian is to become many times unpopular with the world. Don't try to hide that from you. But it's better to be with the Lord Jesus outside the camp than with the world inside the camp. It's better to be kicked out of the synagogue with the Lord Jesus Christ than stay in the synagogue and end up in hell. And then last of all, and I said that I was going to mention seven things from this chapter today, we have a sad warning. And that warning is that the same light that shines can blind. In verse 39, "And Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? And Jesus said unto them, If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth." You think about this. The Lord Jesus passes by, and this man that was born blind ends the day. He's kicked out of the synagogue, but he's rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the religious leaders are more blind, more hard than they were when the day began. You know, it's been said, and in one way it's very, very true. Any time the gospel is preached, Jesus is passing by. As you listen to this message today, you either come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, or in some way you're further away. You know, there's no neutral ground. Jesus said, you're either for me or against me. Maybe you're saying, that guy doesn't know what he's talking about. Maybe you're saying, I was baptized as an infant, or I joined a church, I'm all right. This business of a new birth, this business of a change of life, it doesn't apply to me. My parents were Christians. But the same day that Jesus passed by and this man that was born blind saw, there were other people that were hardened. Let me close with these words of this man. He says to the Lord Jesus, "Whether he be sinner or no, I know not." In other words, I'm not qualified to split these hairs on the Sabbath question. "But one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." Is that your testimony today? You know, I never robbed any banks. My mom wouldn't let me rob banks. And if I had to come home drunk, my. But I was blind. I've told you I used to look around church and think, what is the big interest here? You know, you'd see these older people. I think, I wish I was home watching, well, Skipper Ryle. I don't know if he's still on or not. And we used to ride a church bus, and I'd always hope the church bus would break down before it got to us. Sometimes it did. One time it broke down on the expressway. I was happy. I'd rather be sitting on the church bus on the expressway than go to church. But one day, the Lord Jesus passed by, and I saw that I was blind, and I saw that He was the Savior. And things were never the same anymore. And I couldn't have answered all your questions, but I could have told you that once I was blind, but now I see. I wonder if you know the Lord Jesus Christ in that personal and saving way.